ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Prithu Maharaj's meeting with four Kumaras.
Right? No, it's wrong.
Doesn't make a huge difference because I am not supposed to speak today.
It's our good fortune.
Okay. So, Canto 4, Chapter 13, Description of the Descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. Verse number 2.
Vidura uvacha
Vidura uvacha
Kete pracheta sonama
Kete pracheta sonama
Kasya bhatyani suvrata Kasyanyavaye prakhyata
Kasyanyavaye prakhyata
Kutrava satramasata
Kutrava satramasata
Vidura uvacha
Vidura uvacha
Kete prachetaso nama
Kete prachetaso nama
Kasyapatyani suvrata
Kasyapatyani suvrata
Kasyanyavaye prakhyata Kutravasatramasata
Kutravasatramasata
Kete prachetaso nama
Kete prachetaso nama
Kasyapatyani suvrata
Kasyapatyani suvrata
Kasyanvavaye prakhyata
Kasyanvavaye prakhyata
Kutravasatramasata
Kutravasatramasata
Word-to-word translation Vidura uvacha
Vidura
inquired.
Vidura inquired.
Ke. Who were? Te. Ke. They. Prachetasaha.
Prachetasaha.
The Prachetas. Nama.
Of the name.
Kasya. Whose? Abhatyani. Sons.
Suvrata.
O Maitreya. Who have taken an auspicious vow. Kasya,
whose?
Anyavaye, in the family.
Prakhyata,
famous. Kutra,
where?
Va,
also.
Satram,
the
sacrifice.
Asata,
was performed. Translation. Vidura inquired from Maitreya. O greatly advanced devotee, who were the Prachetas? To which family did they belong? Whose sons were they? And where did they perform the great sacrifices? Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai!
The great Narada's singing in the previous chapter of three verses in the sacrificial arena of the Prachetas gave another impetus to Vidura to ask further questions. Verse 3.
Manye Mahabhagavatam Naradam Devadarshanam Yena Prokta Kriya Yoga Paricharya Vidhir Hare.
Vidura continued, I know that the great sage Narada is the greatest of all devotees. He has compiled the Pancharatrika procedure of devotional service and has directly met the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are two different ways of approaching the Supreme Lord. One is called Bhagavata Mark or the way of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other is called Pancharatrika Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi is the method of temple worship, and Bhagavata Vidhi is a system of nine processes which begins with hearing and chanting. The Krishna consciousness movement accepts both processes simultaneously and thus enables one to make steady progress on the path of realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Pancharatrika procedure was first introduced by the great sage Narada, as referred to here by Vidura. Om Ajnana Tivranthasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunadhanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kriba Sindhubhya Vacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhudair Mahadhar Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna. We have started the new chapter describing the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. In the previous chapters, the great activities, the great heroic activities of Dhruva Maharaj was described. Here we again go back to the original conversations, which are looping one within the other. For example, the text is starting with Suta Uvacha in the verse 1. And here again, the next one, it is Vidura Uvacha. So we are taking back to the conversation which took place between Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya. Within that, we can see the next set of conversation which is going on, which is between Vidura and Maitreya. So here, Vidura is directly addressing Maitreya and wants to know more about descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, which will be described in the further verses to come. And here, there is a mention about Prachetas, who are great devotees, 10 in number, who performed great austerities and satisfied primarily Lord Shiva and then Krishna himself. So here the pastimes of Prachetas will follow in the continuing chapters. However, here in the purport there is a description about two vidhis, two paths in the process of devotion. And these both paths are very important. The one which is mentioned in the verse is the Pancharatrika Vidhi, which is for Paricharya, which is the Vidhi, which is the process for worshipping the deity. And here in the verse it is mentioned that this was introduced by Narada Muni, who had direct vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, Pancharatrika Vidhi, originally it was spoken, it is described from the teachings of Narada Muni, who is an incarnation of Bhakti Shakti. He's not Vishnu Tattva, he's an empowered living entity. However, he's empowered with Bhakti Shakti. He's empowered with the Lord's internal potency with his Bhakti Shakti. That's where Narada Muni is empowered to write an authorized literature describing the process of worshipping the deity, Pancharatrika Vidhi. So the term Pancharatra is originally coming from an incident took place towards the beginning of creation, wherein two demons stole whole Vedic literature. Do you know who are they? Two demons who stole all Vedic literature. Even Brahma didn't have Vedic literature. Madhu? Haigriv stole. He's telling Haigriv stole something. Who stole? Oh my god. No, that's not the thing. Madhu and Kaitaba. The two demons, Madhu and Kaitaba, stole all the Vedic literature. So even Brahma forgot about Vedic literature. So that time, the process of stealing was so powerful that even the Brahmanas, they couldn't remember the Vedic literature. Whatever they have even learned, even that was also stolen. So Brahma couldn't remember the Vedas. So this is the power of Madhu and Kaitaba. And then who appeared? Exactly. Then Haigriva came. So there is a Haigriva demon, that's different. But this is separate. Okay. So the Haigriva is the Lord himself. Say for example, Haya means horse. Griva means neck or the horse headed. So the Lord came in the form of horse to kill these two demons and to rescue the whole Vedic literature. Somewhere the Haigriva is also known as Haya. Just Haya. In Vishnu Sahasranam, Haigriva is addressed as Haya. So it's all referring to the personality of Godhead. And then he took the Vedic literature and he gave back to Brahma. So he again instructed Vedas, Pancharatra. So 5 night, 5 day, the process. He again taught Brahma the whole Vedic literature. And from there, Narada, we can see Narada learned. And then he actually elaborated the process of sadhana, but elaborated the process of worshipping the deity. So that's where this Pancharatrika Vidhi is coming from. In bhakti process, as you know, there are two paths. One is Pancharatrika Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi is very important because all the temple worship and everything associated with the temple worship are in connection to this Pancharatrika Vidhi. So Srila Prabhupada, when he established Krishna consciousness, initially he didn't start with Pancharatrika Vidhi. Srila Prabhupada started with Bhagavad Vidhi. Srila Prabhupada started with Bhagavad Vidhi. So preaching the glories of the Lord is part of Bhagavad Vidhi. We can see in the life of Narada Muni, Narada Muni is exemplifying both. If you see Narada Muni is preaching the glories of the Lord throughout. He has made so stalwart devotees. Here we had an example of Dhruva Maharaj. We'll see Prachetas. We'll see Prahlad Maharaj. We can see devotees after devotees being preached by Narada Muni, and he is even an instigator in the pastimes of the Lord to progress. So Narada Muni is always glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that way, he is exemplifying Bhagavad Vidhi. And at the same time, he has written a literature that establishes the standard for worshipping the deity. So he is doing both aspects. He is doing Bhagavad Vidhi primarily, and at the same time, he has established Pancharatrika Vidhi. So Narada Muni is a good example for taking both sides. Likewise, in Prabhupada mentioned in this purport that we, Krishna Consciousness Movement, accept both processes. So So both processes are very important. So we will try to see why they are important. Ultimately, bhakti is navanga bhakti or navavidha bhakti. So bhakti can be classified in many ways. So one way of classification is as navavidha bhakti or navanga bhakti, starting from shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, etc. We have 9 processes of devotional service. At the same time, that cannot work in itself if a person is not qualified. So Srila Prabhupada knew this. So in the beginning of devotional service, beginning of Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada was primarily chanting Hare Krishna. He was doing lecture, Bhagavad Katha, and he was doing kirtan. That was the whole process. So there was no established temples in the beginning of Krishna consciousness movement. Yesterday, I went for the movie about Srila Prabhupada. I was watching for the first time. It was an amazing experience. And Prabhupada had the background of both Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi. We can see from his childhood how he is worshipping the deity of Radha and Krishna. How Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan Dey, how he is worshipping Radha and Krishna. So he was trained in Pancharatrika Vidhi and as well he was trained in Bhagavad Vidhi. So when he came to the West, he started with the Bhagavad Vidhi. And then we can see how the initial success for Prabhupada was chanting in Tompkins Square Park. That was Bhagavad Vidhi. Srila Prabhupada was just chanting and all the hippies just assembled. You know, hundreds of them. And then the newspaper article came. You know, the Hare Krishna chanting, the Swami startled the whole New York park. So everyone was completely attracted. There is something happening. And then eventually more and more people joined in. Srila Prabhupada was very successful in taking Bhagavad Vidhi not just inside a room or inside an auditorium or a temple, rather to everywhere in the form of Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution. See how Bhagavad Vidhi is so important in terms of spreading the glories of the holy name, the spreading the process of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada rightly took advantage of the Sankirtan aspect of Bhagavad Vidhi, which is very powerful. I was hearing this past time, later in the years, Srila Prabhupada is not there, how the Sankirtan is so powerful, how Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution is so powerful. One election campaign was going on in America. So during this election campaign, I don't know which electoral party, whichever it is, whichever political party, the leader of the party gave a challenge to all his main campaigners. Whoever can campaign for our party in the best way can have lunch or dinner with the party leader. And if the leader wins, becomes the president of America, can have dinner with him. So it's a big reward. And many people tried different things to campaign for the party. And one campaigner, what he did, he joined the Harinam party. The devotees were performing Hare Krishna Mahamantra and chanting and dancing in the street. He joined the Harinam party and he had his placard, big placard, you know, vote for such and such. And he actually walked throughout. He did the full Harinam Sankirtan with the devotees. And that became a big newspaper article. And everyone liked it. And eventually that party won the election, the campaign. And he was very successful in the campaign. And he had dinner with the president. So even a politically minded person could understand the power of Harinam Sankirtan and power of chanting and dancing. In one of the studies done about advertisement, they told that this Swamiji has really understood what is meant by advertisement. They said this chanting, dancing and completely being enthusiastic and vibrant and walking throughout the street, this is the best way to advertise anything. Most powerful way. In fact, in Melbourne, back in the 80s, there were only few devotees. There were not so many devotees. Maybe 3 or 4 Harinam Sankirtan parties were there. And they were doing Harinam Sankirtan different parts of Melbourne, different parts of Victoria, primarily focused around Melbourne. And the Melbourne crowd started thinking that you people are there everywhere. Because one time there will be Harinam going on in the city, and after some time somewhere else, and another party is doing some Harinam elsewhere. So this was going on here and there. Then the public came to the conclusion was, the Krishna consciousness is actually spreading everywhere. So many devotees. So this is Bhagavad Vidhi. See, Bhagavad Vidhi is very powerful. Just a few devotees can actually make a difference. That is Bhagavad Vidhi. It is very powerful. That's why people in the 80s, those who are living in this area in the 80s, when they see us, they say that we thought you people had gone away from here. First, they said, when in the 80s, when we met you people, we thought that you're going to conquer the whole Melbourne. We thought that the temple and the devotees are going to spread throughout whole Albert Park. All the trams, all the shops, all the houses, everywhere, there's going to be devotees. Then we thought you people left because couldn't hear much of Harinam, not much happening. Now we are seeing you back. So this is the power of Harinam Sankirtan. You know, this is the power of Bhagavad Vidhi. So Bhagavad Vidhi is very, very essential in terms of preaching. And at the same time, Bhagavad Gita is the food for our spiritual life, because that's starting from hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. So shoes will become just like two big nails or two big spears which are on our neck. We are feeling burdened by the deities. So Prabhupada said, if there is no proper hearing and chanting, we will be burdened by the deities. So the essential, the basis is hearing and chanting Krishna's name, understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. And from there, of course, it goes back and forth. The support goes back and forth. But this is talking about the importance of Bhagavad Vidhi. Similarly, when we see this conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, there was no official initiation yajna that was performed by Maitreya when he met Vidura. Right? Can you see any fire sacrifice? No. Was there any name giving ceremony? So far you were known by the name Vidura. Now I'm going to give, this is your new name, this is your new beats. Did it happen? No, it didn't happen. At the same time, Vidura accepted Maitreya as his guru. Right? He's accepted. He's his guru. Even though there is no formal ceremony or there is no formal procedure of Diksha. So this kind of initiation is coming from Bhagavad Vidhi. It is coming from Bhagavad Vidhi. So in the Bhagavad Vidhi, the initiations, accepting a guru, it is primarily in the heart, which is meant to happen in Pancharatrika Vidhi also, in our procedure also. There can be an external ceremony and there has to be an internal ceremony. One devotee was asked, so when one does actually get initiated, then the guru told that one may get initiated before the ceremony of initiation, one may get initiated at the time of the ceremony of initiation, when we get the receive the bead and the name, one may get initiated after the ceremony somewhere in life, or one may not even get initiated at all, even one has accepted the bead and the name. So this is what we are talking about, is the Bhagavad Vidhi of initiation. That must happen in the heart of a disciple. So that time, this is the bygone ages, the devotees were so serious, so powerful, that they were able to just accept a spiritual master, ask a question, understand, serve them, and live life accordingly without the support of an external ceremony. Now we have the support of an external ceremony so that we take it seriously. The whole point is we take it seriously. We take a vow in front of the deities, in front of the fire, in front of the spiritual master, in front of all Vaishnavas. So we are making a commitment. Okay, 4 regulative principles I am going to follow. I am going to chant at minimum of 16 rounds of Hare Krishna every day, at least minimum. So this is a vow. This is part of Pancharatrika Vidhi, which is establishing that, okay, I'm going to be serious from now onwards. That's why senior devotees mentioned that when we attend an initiation ceremony, then we need to, what we feel when we attend an initiation ceremony, it's very important. Do we feel completely disconnected? Yeah, something is going on there. You know, I have my things to do. I am sitting there. I am only interested in the names. I'll call out Jai for each name. Right? Is that the whole idea? Just to get that instant, kind of an instant gratification. What is that? Old name, new name. Okay, is that about the attending an initiation ceremony? No, it is recommitment to our vow to our spiritual master. And one need to feel grateful, one need to feel gratitude for the opportunity that we got to serve the parampara in connection to the spiritual master Srila Prabhupada and Supreme Lord himself. So there's a serious process happening. So that process is actually part of Pancharatrika. So in one way, the Bhagavad Vidhi is going to support Pancharatrika. And at the same time, Pancharatrika Vidhi is supporting Bhagavad Vidhi. The deity worship is going to support our chanting. So that's why Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish the deity worship, and Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish a morning program so that devotees can be regulated. We are not on the Bhagavad, independent Bhagavad platform. We are not. If there is a Mangalarati, okay, we are forced to get up. So that is a part of Vaidhi, Sadhana, Bhakti. Vaidhi means Vidhi, rules. There are rules to follow. We may feel like doing it, we may not feel like doing it, but do it. This is called Vaidhi. So in fact, in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned in the second canto, Ichchata Abhayam. The root cause of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is Abhayam. One is fearful. There is an element of fear in it. If I don't do, what will happen? So there are only two feelings. Everything is in between. Either Bhai or Prem. Either one is fear or love. So when we are doing out of fear, that's called following rules and regulation. The same activity when one performs out of love, that is called Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. It's the same activity. Whether one is performing the Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti or spontaneous devotion service, or one is just following the rules and regulations, the activities are the same. But motivation is different. So the aim is to transcend the just doing out of rules and for performing the rules and regulations, give up that mentality and do it out of some affection for the Lord. That's the whole aim. So that is a progressive path of both Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi. So Pancharatrika Vidhi will support devotees. Can we think about our sadhana without a morning program? Practically speaking, we will be ruined completely if there is no morning program. Because there is no push to get up in the morning. We don't see the deities. We don't worship the guru. We don't chant. Our chant, if you don't attend the morning program, what happens to our chanting? Probably you'll be chanting the whole day until the night. And people may be thinking, Prabhu, you are chanting all the time. Are you chanting 64 rounds? Are you chanting 32 rounds? No, I didn't chant in the morning. That is the whole problem. So, one has to be very careful. We attend the morning program, then most of the chanting is done. Then, whatever is remaining can chant afterwards. Rather than carrying the rounds throughout the day, night, etc. There's a nightclub. Chanting nightclub. 10 o'clock in the night. Prabhu, how many rounds are there? Oh, 12 rounds. Then anything in two digits, very serious. Anything less, even 8 rounds, oh, too much. 6 rounds, oh, 4, okay. 2, yeah, it's alright. But this is in the night. Then think about the quality of such kind of chanting. That's the reason Srila Prabhupada, even in the last moments in this world, that is when he was on his deathbed, you can watch the video, the final pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, where even that time, Prabhupada, one of the purport mentioning, yeah, come to the mode of goodness by getting up for Mangalarati. Prabhupada mentions in the beginning, you know, get up for Mangalarati. This is, Prabhupada is lying down, his body is completely emaciated, you know, very frail, just practically bone and skin, the body, and he just closed his eyes. And the devotees have kept the recording device to the mouth, and Prabhupada was giving purport to Bhagavatam verses. Prabhupada was telling, come to the mode of goodness, start getting up for Mangalarati. Like they're explaining, even the final, Prabhupada was explaining. So important is we follow the regulated devotional service of Pancharatrika Vidhi. That is supporting our chanting. Very clearly we can see one-to-one connection. That is supporting our Bhagavatam studies. We are hearing Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is so powerful. No matter whoever speaks Bhagavatam. Okay. For example, devotees. Whoever is giving lecture. Suppose our mind is a bit agitated. We are not feeling enthusiasm. We are feeling a bit down. Just come, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We feel actually quite happy. It's very powerful. Just hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we feel happy. We feel, okay, we should serve Krishna. This is the power of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra also. If we properly chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one will naturally feel like doing service to Krishna. We cannot stop that. That's a consequence. That's why Prabhupada told. One will feel deities as a burden if you don't hear and chant. Because they are working on our core level as the spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. We are reminded again and again that we are servant of Krishna. Our constitutional position is to serve Krishna. And we become happy by serving Krishna. And if we apply to the simple process, get up in the morning, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then practically speaking, we can be devoid of many of the problems, most of the problems. When we don't have that, then we can see so many things becomes problems in our life. Otherwise, they are not problems. Because we are tolerating, we don't care so much about it. If we have this prime process, everything actually works. So this is the power of Pancharatrika Vidhi. However, Srila Prabhupada established temples in the West. And when he started preaching in India, Prabhupada didn't want to preach in India. Because he tried to preach in India in the beginning and it was not working. He went to great devotee families. They had few sons. He told, give me Vaishnava families. Give me one of your sons. I will train him as a Vaishnava, as a devotee. Give me one of your sons. I will train him. I will take care of him. I will train him as a Vaishnava. What did this Indian pious families respond? No. You have many sons, but give me one son. Impossible. That is a typical Indian mentality. Indian families, if someone takes up devotional service seriously, they become alarmed. What's going to happen to our family? You're going to ruin. That is many times complaint against ISKCON. That is a complaint against Srila Prabhupada. That is even the complaint against Narada Muni. You are taking away our sons. It's a big complaint. Right? In the beginning days, yesterday the movie also, how the deep programmers were working. And the court case in the Supreme Court in America, that there is a mind control techniques the devotees are using to catch all this young generation, boys and girls. And they are forced to work for the Swami and for this movement. So this was the allegation. And the whole court case was going on. And it was a very nice picture of the whole court, the judge, everything was there in the movie. It was interesting. And Srila Prabhupada was encouraged when this court case came about. Prabhupada said, not just Bhagavad Gita, show them Srimad Bhagavatam, show them Nectar of Devotion, show all our books and establish that we are a bona fide religion. And Prabhupada said, let us drag the case as long as possible so that there is more publicity. And indeed, the case ran for 6 months and then the Supreme Court gave the verdict that this is a thousands of years old bona fide religion and anyone in America has the right to practice as he or she wishes. So that is a verdict. And it was a big success for Srila Prabhupada. So this is, the parents get alarmed when anyone take up to devotional service. That's why if you are calling home, if you are calling to India, they say, yeah, you go to temple, very good. You are doing a good job, go to India. But don't go too often. Go for Janmashtami, not very often. This is the kind of response they get. Because they are afraid. Because if they become a sadhu, become a brahmachari, they are very much afraid. What will happen? So Prabhupada said, I have the curse that Narada Muni got. Narada Muni, why? How come Narada Muni got the curse? Narada Muni preached. Who? The sons of Daksha. Right? Sons of Daksha. How many? Thousands of them. How many? 10,000? 10,000. 10,000 sons. They understand, they had the culture. The 10,000 sons, they were sons of Daksha, who's a progenitor. So the aim is to produce good quality children. And they knew that before producing good quality children, they had to perform austerities. So these 10,000 children, they went to perform austerities. And on the way, Narada Muni caught them and told, what is the whole purpose of life? Why to get entangled in this family life? You can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and you can get perfection. Why to take a detour? Directly go to Krishna. Preached very heavily. All of them got convinced. And they took the renounced life. They became brahmacharis. They started worshipping the Lord. And they perfected their life. And Daksha became furious. He produced so many children and Narada Muni took away all of them. And then he controlled his fury and he produced next set. How many of them? Thousand? Thousand more. Yes, it's not 10,000. It's 1,000 more. And then Narada Muni again preached to them, and this time the preaching was easier because he had someone to give an example. Your brothers, 10,000 of them, they have given up family life and gone to perform devotional service and they have perfected. Now you do the same. Follow your brothers. Then indeed, they followed the brothers. And now Daksha became even more furious and cursed Narada Muni. It's a great offense to curse Narada Muni. That you cannot stay at one place more than 3 days. So this is a curse of Daksha to Narada Muni. Narada Muni accepted. He said, no problem. Even though Narada Muni accepted the curse, Narada Muni can stay at some places as long as he wants. Do you know where? Where? Okay, this curse doesn't apply at certain places. In Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, he can stay as long as he wants. He spent some time in Vrindavan also. So, no problem. There, this curse doesn't work. So, yes, Narada Muni was cursed. And then Prabhupada is telling, my disciples' parents have cursed me. That's why I'm traveling all the time. And Prabhupada said, I passed down this curse to my disciples. So that you also preach. You also make devotees. You also make renunciants. So this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. So this is, we can see, this Narada Muni, he's preaching so heavily. And the point here comes, Srila Prabhupada, he started preaching, he established temples in America, and he didn't want to go back to India because he tried and he failed. Then Prabhupada says, he was thinking, I will not go to India and preach. But Krishna came in a dream and told Srila Prabhupada, please go to India and, you know, preach. Then Prabhupada actually went to India with his dancing white elephants. Very, very, all of them going, chanting, doing big Harinam Kirtan, etc., etc. It was a big attraction. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada didn't want to do Harinam Sankirtan in small groups in India because the local public would think that they are just beggars and they don't take them seriously. That's how Srila Prabhupada started the life membership program. And he wanted magnificent temples to be established in India for preaching. So India preaching, Prabhupada said, it is primarily starting with Pancharatrika Vidhi. Understand? Starting with Pancharatrika Vidhi. Because if there are big temples, naturally people are drawn to the temple. Because there is piety. Indians, or big temples are there, people just come to the temple. First, just to see the temples and the deities. Here also same thing happens, right? When we know that there is a temple, so many people come. So India, same thing. So Prabhupada wanted magnificent temples to be established in main cities in India. So Vrindavan, in Juhu, Bombay, in Mayapur, big temples. And now we can see that Prabhupada wanted the temple of Vedic planetarium. He said, when the temple of Vedic planetarium is established, the whole world would come to Mayapur, the spiritual city. The Prabhupada wanted this big temple to be established. So we can see how Prabhupada knew exactly how to preach. So India, it was primarily based on Pancharatrika Vidhi, based on the deity worship. Then eventually, when they come to the temple, they will hear Bhagavatam, they'll hear from the devotees, then that's going to initiate the Bhagavati. Can you see? So how this the dynamics of both Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi was used very effectively in preaching Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, and ultimately we need to see that Krishna consciousness is a preaching movement. So in that respect, even if you are worshipping the Lord, if you are decorating the Lord, all of them are ultimately to attract people to Krishna. So the preaching mood is there in all our activities. I was hearing this lecture in 70s, in Srila Prabhupada's time, the mood of devotees who were cooking Sunday feast. Very interesting mood. They were thinking, they had 10, 12, 15, 16, 20 preparations, and the whole day, a team of devotees cooking. And the whole meditation was that if someone has this, eat this prasadam, they must surrender immediately. They should join the temple straight away. So we should cook with that quality, so much of opulence, so many varieties, so much of qualities that if we eat now, they should surrender now. Not tomorrow, now. After eating we can say, okay, start chanting, shave up the head, join the ashram. That was the mood. See, the mood of a cook. Very important mood. So this is the actual, the preaching mood even carried by a cook. They must surrender now. And I was hearing this pastime in which they were telling, after cooking, after doing everything, those who are the main cooks, they would have separate room. They will take all this prasadam and then they are going to be the tasters of the prasadam. So they will taste each item. If there are 15 preparations, they will very carefully taste all of them in the right mood. Okay, in the right mood. The right mood is actually how good it is. How can we improve? Then they will say, okay, sweet rice, yeah, it's not up to the mark. Okay, that sabji, it's really good. Okay, pakoda, it's really good. Halwa, yeah, it is top of the class. So they will rate everything. You understand? So much rating was going on each and every item. And then to improve the prasadam next time. Like that. So they were very conscious, very careful in offering. So we can see that the purpose was very clear. The whole idea is to attract new people to Krishna consciousness. So for that we can use both Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatra Vidhi. Similarly, in our personal practice, we need both Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatra Vidhi. We have to Bhagavad Vidhi, obvious. We chant, we hear about Krishna, and we can see Krishna in the form of the deities. We have to serve the deities. Then we understand, we develop a personal connection to the Lord. Then, when there are descriptions about Krishna, we can actually see Krishna. When we hear the beautiful verses describing Krishna, then we can actually see Krishna in the verses. Because we are seeing Krishna anyway. Yesterday one devotee was telling me one verse about Krishna. We were in the tram. It was really best company I had yesterday. It was coming from the movie. And one devotee was sharing a verse about Krishna. And when I was hearing the verse, I was thinking, okay, this makes sense. When we hear the verse about Krishna, it makes sense. Because we are seeing Krishna. We are getting a direct experience of Krishna. The verse was starting with Chikuram Bahulam. Chikuram Bahulam means Krishna's locks of hair are very dense. Chikulam Bahulam Viralam Bhramaram. At the same time, even though Krishna's locks of hair is very, very thick, which we can see, it's very thick, but each strand, each hair is separate. Bhramaram. Bhramaram means just like a black bumblebee. As we have a black bumblebee, each bumblebee, even though it's black, they are separate. We can see a collection of many bumblebees, but we can see all of them separately. Similarly, Krishna has a thick lock hair, still it is all separate, beautifully decorated. Mrudulam Vachanam. And his speech is very soft. He can speak in many ways, but his speech is very soft. Mrudulam Vachanam. Vipulam Nayanam. Vipulam Nayanam. And his eyes are Vipulam. Vipulam means very vast. Krishna's eyes, if you see, the deity's eyes are very vast, almost till the ears. It is just flowing almost till the ears. You can see Radha Vallabha. You can see Radha Madhav. You can see paintings like a lotus petal. It is just Vipulam Nayanam. Adharam Madhuram. His lips are sweet. That's why there is a whole complaint from the gopis about who is enjoying the lips of Krishna the most. Gopangana Agana Vimohana Mantra Diksha. Who is enjoying the lips of Krishna most? The flute. So they are complaining. You can hear this in the 21st chapter of 10th canto. What austerities the flute has performed. So that they are constantly enjoying the lips of Krishna. Api Gopikanam, even though that belongs to us, still, why the flute is enjoying the lips of Krishna? That is Adharam Madharam. Then, Vadanam Madhuram, and his face is very sweet. His face is very sweet. And Chapalam Charitam, at the same time Krishna is very flickering by nature. He's just moving around. Chapalam Charitam Cha Kadani Vibho. That is, when will I see that Lord with all these beautiful features? So this is a verse by Billamangal Thakur. So when we hear these kind of verses, we can see there is a direct connection to Krishna. So in one sense, these descriptions are about Bhagavad Vidhi, but the Pancharatra Vidhi is giving a process to experience that directly. And the vision is very powerful. Hearing is very powerful and vision is also very powerful. So that helps us to meditate on Krishna. Help us to go deeper in Krishna consciousness and to get away from the Maya. So many thoughts, so many attractions are coming externally. We can actually get out from that by focusing on Krishna through both Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatra Vidhi. So both ways. In terms of preaching, both Vidhis are very relevant, very applicable. In terms of personal application, both are very relevant, very applicable. So I stop here. See if there are any questions or comments. Okay. Everyone satisfied? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.